Speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
From Matthew 1, verse 18, where he says, "Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now we know that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John always give us complete records of these things, but Luke, the second chapter, also gives a complete record of the things concerning the birth of our Lord. We've been asking in the last couple of weeks, how should Christians view Christmas? And could we enjoy a season as a national holiday? Or do we have to avoid that because we're children of God? Well, the answer is no. We can enjoy a national holiday the same as anyone else, as long as we do not make that national holiday a holy day. And that, my friends, is what would be wrong, because observing it religiously, we have no authority whatsoever from the Word of God to do so. Had the Lord wanted us to know when His Son was born, He would have told us. Had He wanted us to celebrate it, He would have given us the way to celebrate it. But not having either of these things, then we are closed up to the fact that we can enjoy a national holiday, but we cannot celebrate Christmas as a holy day. You know, Christians ought to also, as we've noticed, avoid leaving the wrong impression with the world, as if we perhaps did celebrate in some way Christmas, and let it not be said that we should ever fail to remember the needs of those that are about us. And there's some special cautions, of course, too. We need to watch out for the bell ringers. We need to not let people take advantage of the season of the year in order to do something for their own religious interest. Christmas, of course, according to McClintock and Strong's Cyclopedia, Volume 2, page 276, it says this: "The exact year of his birth is not agreed upon by chronologers, but it was about 4,000th year of the world. Nor can the precise season of the year, the month, and the day in which he was born be ascertained. The Egyptians placed it in January, others February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and December." But when we look at these things, my friends, we view the birth of our Lord as a very wonderful thing. We're grateful that He was born, but certainly we have no illustration, authority whatsoever to observe His birth. Now, considering this background regarding Christmas, perhaps it would be in order to answer some questions that may arise. First of all, should we observe it as a religious holiday? I think we've made that clear. But since there is no authority to observe it any more than the use of instrumental music in worship, the answer is absolutely not. Again, read Colossians 3:17, where he says, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name or by the authority of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him." So if you claim to be a follower of Christ, my friends, you cannot and will not do that which is unauthorized by God. If you do, this verse condemns you. Another question, is it wrong to use the word Christmas, since it once meant a Mass of Christ? Well, if the word still had the same meaning, I would not use it. But the English language is a living language, constantly changing. I do not connote the word with the celebrating of the Lord's birth. Many do, but I do not. And the names of the days of the week at one time had a pagan or religious significance, but I've never thought of them in that way, and I do not hesitate to use them now, because I don't use them in that way. So I do not hesitate to refer to Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and so forth. But Christmas, my friends, that time means families being together, houses beautifully decorated, exchanging of presents, and lots of good food to eat. Now, some may refuse to speak of Christmas, but they do not hesitate to speak of the holidays. Well, consistently, it is certainly something we need to see. Consistency, you know, is a rare jewel. Even at Christmas time. You know what holiday meant at one time? Holy day. So if they use the word holiday, why can't they use the word Christmas? It does not mean the same now to us that it meant in the years gone by. Well, are there other unknowns that relate to the birth of Christ? I believe there are. If one were to go to Bethlehem today, he could visit the Church of the Nativity. In fact, I have been there, my wife and I have. It was built by Helena in AD 317. It was partially destroyed by the Muslims in 1236, but rebuilt by the Crusaders. And there in the marble floor of that building is a silver star where tourists are told was the exact spot where Jesus was born. But you know what? The Bible does not identify the exact place in Bethlehem where he was born. And some have speculated that he was born in a cavern. But this seems unlikely, since the text says that he was born in Bethlehem, not on the outskirts of town, but in that city. Well, where were the three wise men? Were there three wise men? Well, the Bible says wise men came from the east, Matthew 2:1. But you know it does not say how many, nor whether they were kings or not. But the world has decided that there were three wise men and that they were kings. They were three wise kings. Well, the Bible does not mention that their mode of transportation were camels either, but you always see them depicted as coming in on camels. And that, of course, in most nativity scenes. Well, these are things then that are unknown relating to the birth of Christ. First, not that there were any relation to Christ's birth in the nativity scene where it said he was born, nor that there were three wise men. But are the nativity scenes accurate in having the wise men visiting the Christ child in a manger? Well, no, they're not. You know, the shepherds visited the child and his parents at his birth, Luke 2, 1-14. The wise men visited later, though, when Joseph, Mary, and Jesus were in a house, according to Matthew 2:11. They were no longer out in the manger. They're in a house now, when the wise men came. One man said about this, and correctly so, I believe, Herod's plan was to slay so many children of such an age as to ascertain and to certainly include the young king. He had ascertained the time at which the star would appear, but he could not know from this the exact time of the child's birth, for the star might have appeared either before or after his birth. But his plan, therefore, required them to give himself a margin of both sides, that is, to include the children of such an age that if the star appeared either a few months after or a few months before the birth of Jesus, Jesus would, of course, be included. What a horrible transition this was when this king decided to kill all children 2 years old and under in Bethlehem and the surrounding area. What great sadness came to those parents. But he went back to 2 years in order that he might be sure that he got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he came forward to the last male child born in Bethlehem. And it's probable that the star had appeared within the previous year. Now, these things are interesting to note, aren't they? Because they certainly give us the idea we certainly do not know when the birth of Christ was. We do not know how many wise men came to honor his birth. We do not know these things, so therefore we cannot give them and do them, except we do them in harmony with man's wishes and not in harmony with the Lord's wishes. You know, there's another thing we might be warned about today. We need to be warned about overspending. You know, in Acts 20, verse 35, Jesus said, "These things that I teach you, I did so that you might know it's more blessed to give than it is to receive." And sometimes we get to enjoying it more than we should, I suppose. Most of us, especially parents and grandparents, enjoy buying gifts and expressing our love. And sometimes in doing so, we overextend ourselves and get into a financial bind. And then to make up for a lack of funds, we cut back on our contribution to the Lord's church for the next few months to make up for what we have done at Christmas time. Well, we didn't do it intentionally, I suppose, but we ended up robbing God, didn't we? It's better to give fewer presents, less expensive ones, and to go into the new year with God's blessings than to give more and lose God's good favor. We can give till it hurts, spiritually, really. Will a man rob God? Yet he says, "Ye have robbed me." But ye say, "Wherein have we robbed thee?" Well, he says, "In tithes and in offerings." Now, that was under the old law. And tithes are not a part of the new law. But at any rate, the principle is the same. He said, "You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." bring ye the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven, and pour out to you a blessing of which there shall be not room enough to receive it. Malachi 3, verse 8 through 10. So we need to exercise our wisdom, use some self-control. You know, self-control is what Felix didn't have, and what also others didn't have in their thoughts and in their desires. In Acts 24, after certain days, you know, Felix came with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewish, sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. That was his sermon topic that morning. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. And he answered, go thy way for this time. If I have a convenient season, or when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. So he was not practicing temperance or self-control in those things which he was doing. And that, of course, is true of many people today who do not practice self-control in their spending either around this time of the year. It is also said in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So we want to be sure that we're found faithful unto the Lord, no matter what season of the year it may be. Go ahead, my friends, and enjoy this festive time of the year. Be thankful to God for all of our blessings and joys. Be careful, though, not to compromise the truth, nor to do those things which might not bring honor unto our Lord.